I mean, did an awesome job on it. It was a lot of work, but we were able to help a lot of people and show Jesus Christ. One of the gentlemen from Benton Harbor area, his name is Little. His last name was Little, and he's about 5 foot two anyway, so it kind of fits the bill. He and Grandmaster could see eye to eye, and they took a picture of us. And there's three guys that are over 6 foot. There's me right at 5'8", and then there's Grandmaster and Brother Little at like 5'3", and it was a great picture. If you haven't seen it, it's on Facebook, and Karis, Jamie, and I can show it to you. We had a chance to make a new friend yesterday, and he's going through a lot of struggles. Grandmaster Eisenhart passed away of cancer just a few months ago, and you had to know him. His family, the Eisenharts, are famous, and maybe you've never heard of them, but they're famous in the wrestling world. His dad was one of those pro wrestlers that come up with Dick the Bruiser and Bobo Brazil and some of the old wrestlers of the past. Leaping Larry Shane, yep, and Austin Idol, my good friend Austin Idol. And anyway, Grandmaster Eisenhart was a kind-hearted man, and you talk about just a real blessing. But anyway, he's passed away, and Mr. Little has taken that over. He's working 72 hours a week in his job, and then he's also trying to run the school now. He had two sons here yesterday. And the one son did really well. So pray for the Little family out of Benton Harbor. I love it. You know, God allowed our church to be an encouragement and a help to a lot of people. Grandmaster Boger, she's a grandmaster, isn't she? And is Boger? Jolene, right? But she's such a blessing. She come up to me, called all the judges and referees into the office. And she grabbed me and hugged me. She said, "Thank you for inviting me." They're with a different Taekwondo Federation, but we just invite everybody. I try not to leave anybody out. Matter of fact, the morning's message is going to be along that lines. We're in the book of Luke this morning, and trying to encourage people just to not leave each other out. You know, and that's what happens in the big churches. In Fundamental, there are those that feel left out. There are those in a lot of churches that if their last name's not such, or they're not important, they don't think they're important. The misfits of this world. So anyway, yesterday we had a chance to help a number of people. There's an unsaved man that's a master of a school, and Josh got around it again, and he and I have become really, really good friends, and I'm praying one day to see that man saved. So we had opportunity yesterday. There were probably well over 120, 30 people here. And I always encourage a church family, if you're able to come to them, well, what am I going to do? Well, you can help in the kitchen, or you can sit and laugh. And it was amazing watching some of these kids. I got up and did my form that only they're allowing me to do, and I messed it up because we mirror it so often. You know, instead of the left low block, we mirror, so we go right low block so the kids can do the same arm. It's amazing how many people don't know left from right. But I would never embarrass anybody on who knows left or right. Right, baby? Is this my left side? So, what are you doing up here? You getting camera time? He getting camera time. Go ahead, buddy. Go ahead.
Dear Father, thank you for all you've done and provided. Lord, I pray that you help us to learn something today. Sunday school, Lord, we'll listen, hear your word.
Yeah, amen. Exodus 34, verse 28 this morning. And he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor drink water. And he wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. Moses was a man's man. When he passes, God takes him up on the mountain and shows him the promised land. No one knows where Moses' grave is at. God did that. What an amazing thought there is there, but The Bible says that when he passed, he was as strong then as he ever was. I don't know about you, but at 55, I feel like I'm the weakest man on earth right now. I'm tired. Jamie and I have both been so busy, and Jamie did so much for the tournament, and I thank you for that, babe. We were able to make our own T-shirts this year, and that saved us some money, and it was just a real blessing on that. And so that was done, plus all the administrative side of it. We're tired, and it's good to be tired. Now, you got to get away to get some rest. Being tired, I'm right now having to take a nap before I go to bed. Go to bed and sleep, and then take a nap this morning after I get up. Does anybody else do that? I fell asleep for 30 minutes in my chair just a minute ago. These cold when it gets warm, I can go and go and go. These cold temperatures, he's the pastor, he's only 47. Yeah, well, blow it out your ear, okay? I get cold like that, and I get sleepy. And then sitting in my chair with my dog staring at me makes me even more sleepy, so... that's who we are. We're not as strong as individuals as we think we are. But Moses was. Moses is strong. Matter of fact, in this verse 28, he's fasting here. Did you see how long that fast was for? And he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. By the way, I don't suggest doing a 40-day fast unless God tells you to. I've known some men that have tried and a couple men that did, but it hurt it hurt them. And I remember Dr. Tabb talking about a few guys that would fast for 2 and 3 days or 7 days. He said that's smart. And even then, make it a liquid fast, whether you're taking in water or coffee or whatnot, and electrolytes, making sure you get your electrolytes in. But a fast like that, there are some things in this world that come by prayer and fasting. Our Lord even said that when he was dealing with that young boy that was full of the devil. And Dad even said, help mine unbelief. If you remember that story, it's about Luke 5, I believe. And so fasting is an important part of a Christian's life. And you might be fasting and not even know it. I've told you about the times, Mom and Dad especially, and specifically one time, when Mom and Dad were having some struggles and troubles, and I remember I ate a piece of toast in the morning and may not eat anything the rest of the day. And I remember Mr. Johnny Johnson, the old crooked finger, Brother Johnny, him telling me that he says, well, now you're beginning to understand fasting. There are just sometimes you fast. Have you ever had a time in your life where maybe you had some water, you had your coffee or whatnot, but you just didn't even feel like eating? And there's discouragement and depression pushing your appetite completely away. Those are the best times to begin to pray. It gets a hold of your flesh, and now your soul and spirit are in charge, because your flesh messes with you all the time. Moses' flesh broke the Ten Commandments. He broke the law. And that's what happens. Well, this time we see him not only etching the law, the Ten Commandments, into the stone, but now we also see him fasting and praying for 40 days and 40 nights. Beloved, it took him 40 days and 40 nights to complete the task. Yeah. That it took God probably less than 5 minutes to. And because of sin, our life gets harder. Because of sin, we do some pretty dumb things. So with that, Moses completes the writing on the stone tablets while he is fasting. There are the Ten Commandments of God, and we understand from chapter 20 what those Ten Commandments are. Now, by the way, those Ten Commandments work in such a way that actually there's law in each one of those. If you look at the first commandment, and let's go back to hold your place in 34. Let's go back to Exodus 20 a minute. If you're like me, since you've slept since then, you've probably forgot some of the Ten Commandments, and that's fine. Our memories aren't the best anymore. And so as we come to Exodus chapter 20, look at verse number 1, God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Yesterday at the I'd gone to help mow. Again, we're down a man, and I'm out mowing, but Tim was there 2 days after surgery, and you just can't keep some folk down. I said, what are you doing here, Tim? He says, oh, I'm just playing supervisor. So he's running around in Jeff's side by side, and he'd seen me pull up. He said, I just wanted to come over and talk to you. He is part of a group that all they believe in is God's name, and they use the name Yahweh. And he thinks Jesus is a prophet and this kind of thing. So had a chance to witness to him some. But he always brings up the Ten Commandments. And I said, I know, man. A lot of people just have so many other gods. He says, I know. He said, and then he asked me, why do you pray to Jesus? I said, because he's God. That's just the simple answer. And there's no, out on a golf course like that, getting ready to work or on the clock, you don't have time to debate it. And I remember driving off and I said, Lord, how do I, other than the simple statement, you know, how do I address that? Because there's going to be a time when I'm able to maybe take 10 and 15 minutes and explain that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is God in the flesh. And we know that from John chapter 1. He took on flesh and dwelt amongst us. He took on flesh and was in the form of a servant, Philippians chapter 2. By the way, Christian, you ought to know the Bible. You ought to be ready always to give an answer with the Word of God. If you don't, shame on you. Don't let your pastor tell you what Bible verses to memorize. Get in there and learn them. All right? I'm scolding you, yes. Because you ought to know more than I do. Well, I don't have time to read my Bible. Then you're a fool. Then you have no faith. Without the reading of the Word of God, you have no faith. Especially this old King James Bible. I ain't talking about any of those other versions. Those other versions create a false faith. And we're seeing it come even more to fruition. And of course, I'm getting thrown away by it. But Jamie, I pray for Waterman every day. The tragedy that's happening there. And it is a tragedy in my book. It's leading so many people in the wrong direction. It's hurting churches like Horace Baptist Church. Yeah, our church can help or it can hurt other churches. So with that in mind, he mentions, have no other gods before me. And Tim says, yeah, I see the Pope passed away. I said, he says, you do anything with that? I said, I just pray that they be saved by the Lord Jesus. He said, well, they follow after Mary. I said, I know, that's an idol. He says, yeah, that's an idol. I said, yes, it is. And yeah, we're going to work on it. We're going to see the Lord do something there. But the point is, there are other idols even in our life if we're not careful. Again, the conversation come up. Dave, what are you listening to? So I got Alexander Scorby reading the King James Bible to me while I'm on the mower. Why do you do? I said, well, I flip it over to radio. I mean, every now and then I got to listen to some George Jones or something. And those of you who are watching, you want to condemn me, on you, okay? Grandpa raised us right. You know, it might be Evan Island Jackson. What are you telling your people? Hey, listen, folks, you live in this world, learn how to live in it. Learn how to live in it. There are some great things. I mean, who doesn't mind hearing Unchained Melody once in a while? You know, there's other songs, Living on Love or something like that. Now, so while fasting, so he's writing these Ten Commandments. Can you imagine as he's writing them, he's also reading them, and God's, what I believe happened was that God basically told him what we just read. Now, it was in the Hebrew, and Moses understood that. And Moses chiseled that out as God was speaking. Because this Bible is from the heart of God. If you want to use the idea of being God-breathed, you can. I have no problem with it because I believe God spoke it to Moses and he just wrote it down. I believe the other disciples did the same thing. I don't think it was a God put it in their brain kind of thing. I think God put it in their heart to come out their pen. I really believe God spoke it to them, and they wrote it down. And I'll go to my grave believing that because I know my God. He wants us to have the Word, and I wished I knew my God better than and more each day. But I've never seen Him ever keep me from knowing what's truth and what's not truth. Right. I've never seen my God. If I'm in a situation, I've never seen Him disappear or abandon me. But I've always seen the Word, and I've always seen prayer. You know, we used to say that if you want to make God laugh, tell Him your plans, right? And there's a lot of times that I tell God my plans. Lord, I this would be a blessing, God, but nevertheless, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So Moses is doing this by God's hand. If you come back over to Exodus 34, that verse is important in verse 28. Verse 27, the Bible says this, "And the Lord said unto Moses, write thou these words. For after the tenor of these words, I have made a covenant with thee and with Israel." So we see in verses 27 and 28, God is giving him the law to write. Now, because I want to simplify it for David, could it have been a hammer and a chisel? How else are you going to get it written into the stone? I kind of see that stone as you and I. Our heart is hard. Our heart is wicked, desperately wicked. Who can know it, correct? So, with that in mind, how else is Moses going to write it down? I think it's a good illustration to know sometimes how hard it is for God to write his word on the table of our heart. You know, is our heart a piece of paper and God has the quill and he's writing that upon our table of our heart? Or does he have to sometimes chisel it in? Because there are some Bible verses. I'm honestly, Lord Jesus, I wish you hadn't wrote. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted. But Lord, he deserves me punching him in the mouth. Or abandoning or have nothing. Well, aren't you glad he doesn't punch us in the mouth or abandon us? Absolutely. So some things to think about. When you read these scriptures, oh, Moses wrote it. Moses did this. There's more to it. Now, how many times have I said you need to read something to understand it? Does anybody remember? 100 times. Well, the problem is you're lazy. And did you know that that was a sin of Sodom? That was a sin of Sodom, being lazy. Read and study your Bible. Read it, even if it's one verse or something. Know that verse. So as we go on, read in verse 29 with me. "And it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of the testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that his skin of his face shone while he talked with him." He had no idea. He had spent so much time with God's glory and God's grace and God's mercy that the light that God is, you know, he says, "I am a light," and we're going to get into that in just a few minutes. But friends, his face shone. Verse 30, "And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh him." You know, I wonder what they were thinking. What in the world? I know one thing. They knew he had spent time with God. "So Moses called unto them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned unto him, and Moses talked with him. And afterward, all the children of Israel came nigh. And he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. And till Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But when Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off until he came out. And he came out and spake unto the children of Israel that which he was commanded. And the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone. And Moses put the veil upon his face again until he went in to speak with him." You know what my thought was? How long did he wear that veil? Did he wear it for a year? Did he wear it for the next 40 years? Did he wear it for a week? Did he wear it for a day? For me, I can see that the light of God shined his face so much. It was LED lights. It was sunlight. You could tell he had been with God. The whole time Moses' skin is absorbing the glory and light of God. Can you and I do that? His face shone brightly, like the sunlight. I wonder, do we spend enough time with God that we have a face that shines? One other thought I had in this area was, it scared the children of Israel. I'm going to tell you right now, to the flesh of all mankind, it scares them, the believer that will spend time with God. Good question. I think a lot of it has to do with guilt. I think control has another problem with it. See, the flesh of all individual wants to be in charge. If you're a control freak, you like being in charge and in control of everything. But I've said to you before, and I'll say it to you again, you want to gain control, you got to lose control. Yeah. You do. Now, you practice, the best way for me to understand is well, let's go fish in a minute. Open face spin cast reel. That's a reel that hangs down below, and you take it with your finger and you toss it out. Well, you better go in the backyard and throw it into a bucket. Nice and lightly. Pastor Charlie made me and my brother do that. And we would sit in the backyard, tossing it into a bucket, tossing it in a bucket. So when we went fishing, we knew how to handle that reel. Or otherwise, you get nests in that reel. Or you don't get the bait out far enough and things like that. I got a bait casting reel, and I had to do the same thing. By the way, the thought is, if you can't do it slow, you definitely aren't going to do it fast. So you better do it slow at first. And as you do it slow, then your speed comes up. Then your power comes up. Then your accuracy comes up. I'm working with a young man with his golf swing. He just wants to kill everything. I said, stop. I want nothing past the 100-yard flag. Everything you hit has got to be under 100 yards. I made him yesterday take a 7-iron only. Well, can I hit a couple drivers? Nope. Not yet. Not until you can put 3 7-irons in the same spot. Well, that's impossible. Well, then you're not going to hit driver today. Thankfully, my friend Jeff Torrey, he and Jeff Hilbert, they both have done that. They said, Dave, if you want to play at a high level, this is how you have to practice. It's like, wow. And so getting my flesh to calm down, my spirit and soul are willing, but my flesh wants to, and you know, knock the ball 10 miles. Well, you're never going to do that if you're not delivering the club head at the ball. So what is that? That's impact. Accuracy is more important in life than the power and the speed. I don't have to just barely touch you in a spot, and I have control, whether it be in a nerve cluster of the shoulder, diaphragm, throat. There are certain places on your body that if I just take, we call it a one-knuckle punch, and if I just apply it between the muscles, I can get that nerve to spasm that muscle, and you lose control of that body part. But it takes accuracy. You know how those guys can hit a golf ball so great and put it where they want it? Accuracy. They built on accuracy. Even in our Christian walk, it's accuracy more than it is checking off a box. And Ray, Rachel, and Scott, we've come up in the church. Miss Catherine, you've probably been in the church. But I have found out, babe, that a lot of these preachers, they give you a list of 30 different things. If just go through there and mark them off. Oh, that means I'm a great Christian. Well, that's hogwash. That's baloney. That's sewage is what that is. We ought to be good at 2 or 3 things. I'm going to tell you now, as a preacher, I'm a terrible preacher. Just hear me out. I'm not eloquent. I'm not going to stand here and give you cemetery words or seminary words, as I've said many times. I'm not going to give you an illiterate set of notes, but I'm not going to alliterate, you know, have a N for everything, or in some people's lives, a K for their boys' names, or a T in my daughter's case. I can't do that. That's not the way I think. Thankfully, growing up simple, not having a whole lot, and being around the farmers, they didn't complicate anything. If a tractor was broke down, they started at the spark plug. It was simple. And that's the way the Christian walk ought to be. It ought to be simplified. Most people, are scared of anybody that hangs out with God. They're scared because of what they're going to hear that will change their control, that will cause them not to have quote unquote lots of fun. I'm kind of glad I learned how to work, because learning how to work puts me ready for bed at 8:30 rather than going out at midnight and getting into all kind of sin. Does that make sense? That's the simplification of everything. They're scared. A lot of times they're scared of those that hang out with God, Because they're following a leader that's lying to them. And it might create a mentor, and they find out that that mentor wasn't exactly righteous. I'm finding that out with Michael, this young man that I've been helping his golf swing. He went from 62 on nine holes to 52 on nine holes in less than a month. Because I simplified it. The dad, they're good friends with one of our instructors there. The instructor has a great knowledge, but he doesn't know how to take that knowledge and put it into the student. And I'm going to tell you what, that probably teaching, if you're not gifted in it, don't do it. Just, I mean, you should. Everything you learned, you should teach. But you got to learn how to teach. Learning how to teach is just as important as learning the information. Learning how to convey it. And a lot of times people will complicate it. So while I was there yesterday, this instructor's complicating it. And then he looks over at me and says, Dave, what do you think? I said, you're exactly right and what you're teaching. But right now he's playing tournament golf. We don't need to complicate his golf swing. We just need to get the ball going straight. That's all we need to do. Then come July, we're going to start tinkering with the swing. And the best way to do it is what we call the P system. There's positions that your body in, where P1 is at address, P2 is shaft level, P3 lead arm level, P4 is the finish of the backswing, hands high, and you're rotating around your spine. P5 is rotation of the hips, arms are coming down. P6 is shaft parallel. P7 is contact. P8. So you learn where your body should be, and you learn those slowly. Kind of like a front kick. Knee up, kick, rechamber, down. You simplify that. Christian, you ready for this? You wake up. Thank the Lord for letting you wake up. Asking Him for your mission for the day. Go ahead and go potty, okay? Have a conversation with God in the bathroom. I have a conversation with Jamie in the bathroom, the dog in the bathroom, and first and foremost, God in the bathroom. Especially when the water is nice and warm. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for giving me a warm shower. Thank you for the soap to wash this old nasty body. Thank you for some fresh drawers to put on. Thank you for the toothpaste. Thank you, Lord, for the mirror, even though it's lying to me again. You know how much gray I have now? Have you noticed that? I have almost no black left. Isn't that terrible? I wonder why that is. You know what I think it is? I think it's having Rachel in my life. That's what. Bless her heart. Hey, beloved, simplify it. Brother Larry and I used to talk about that a lot. We'd come in with his head spinning on his neck, and I said, Brother Larry, simplify your life. The things that are drama in your life, get rid of them. Well, my daughter's part of that. Then keep her at arm's distance. Until they get right with God, you have to refuse to allow them to mess your technique up. Yeah. Refuse to do it wrong. Simplify it. The children of Israel were scared because they, we're going to have to change our lives. We're going to have to change how we start our day. We're going to have to change what we think. I have no doubt in my mind, no doubt, that the Bible teaches that once a person's saved, they're always saved. But how many people have I given that doctrine and that scripture, and there's plenty of scripture all over the place, and yet they still will not see it. So you know what I do? Is I'll give them one verse, and if they come back later on, I might give them two or three more. But there's so many people to deal with and so many people in your life to speak to. Simplify it. If you don't want the truth, I'm going to give you a portion of the truth, and if it makes you hungry, you're going to ask for more. Simplify it. Because if you've got back pain, you're struggling already. If you've got a headache, if you're tired, there's other things going on. And that's, hey, by the way, when you're having some health struggles, I think that's the best time to say, Lord, can we do an evaluation? What in my life is causing this problem? What in my life, what's not in my life that I need to add to and take away? The carnivore diet and the keto diet have been amazing for me. They've been a huge help for me. There is what they call the lion diet. Do you know what they do?
They lie to you.
No, ma'am. No. L-I-O-N. Lion Diet. These guys, especially this one that's down in Bradenton, Florida, I've emailed him. He's on YouTube and stuff, and we've had some conversations. What he did, he had got fed up with it. He was hurting. He had this problem, that problem. He's my age. He's mid-50s. Had this struggle, that struggle, plantar fasciitis to back pain and this kind of things. He said, I got rid of everything out of my diet but water and meat. So what he did is he went back to square one and he fixed it. He's added a little bit of other things like coconut oil and some other little things in there. But many people today would condemn him for going back to the very basics. There's a lot of things in our lives we don't need. And there's a lot of things in our lives that we don't have that we need. Yesterday for the Taekwondo, Instructor Little, Brother Little, he needed fellowship. He needed some men around him that love God to love him. Yesterday he did his form and he's got some struggles, but we're going to help him. Ray and I both, Jamie, we told him, I told him, we can come to you or you can come here. I said, we have probably eight of the greatest instructors in Taekwondo here. I said, my wife can help you. I can help you. Brother Ray can help you. So we extended that olive branch, so to speak, if you want to do that. I can help you if you want help. These children of Israel that were scared, they didn't want help for the most part. Friend, it is ludicrous. Extreme insanity if you want to remain the same. I want to be different. And I want to be made different every day. I want to be made better every day. And I've told you, we've made this statement, making others better while becoming better. But you can't make others better until you realize you need to be made better. We need to be made better. How about your weight? How about acne? How about a lower back issue? How about these other things that we deal with? Do you even realize that you need help? Well, if you need help, and admitting that you need help, if you're a control freak, admit that. That's where we start getting help. The children of Israel were scared because they were afraid of what they're going to have to admit to. Because then now they have to lose control of what they think they're in control of. I ain't in control of anything. I remember years ago being condemned by a lady that used to be here, and she said, well, he just does whatever he wants. You're an idiot's what you are. You want a pastor? Here you go. Later on, they'd left the church, and God bless her. I asked God for mercy on her, and she broke her leg 2 weeks after being a real pain in this church, causing trouble. I didn't want that to happen, not for an 80-year-old, but it happened. Others that were in the church, they've seen the wrath of God, and we're all undeserving of the grace and mercy of God. And in that respect, ask for God even for more mercy. Because you get to messing with God and God's people, you're in trouble. And by the way, later on, there are some that mess with Moses and they die. God opens up the earth. Come with me over here to Matthew 5 a second. We're not going to be coming back to Exodus 34, but come over here to Matthew 5. The question is, do I spend enough time with God that my face shines to all? Do I spend enough time with God that my face shines to all? I will tell you this from your vocabulary. I know how much time you spend with God. Decisions, responses and reactions, those tell more than anything. You can fool some of the people some of the time, most of the people most of the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time. I think that's where our church is at, is the fact that we can see, we see through, what's the best terminology here? We see through the baloney of the world. You know, don't tell me. We had a visitor on a Wednesday night, and she was saying that, oh, I want to get things right with God. I haven't seen her since. Don't go telling me, oh, I want to become a godly person. Well, maybe she's trying out other churches. Well, fine. I don't know what would be different. unless you're looking for a preacher and a teacher that'll tickle your ear and pat you on the back. You know, I'm going to put my arm around you and tell you I love you. But look at Matthew 5:14 a minute. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. I always thought that was funny. I'd never seen a farmer put it under hay. What happens when you put a flame under hay? Your barn goes up, amen, and under a bushel, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We fail miserably because we don't show the light. Now, you got to be around the light to get some light. Does that make sense? I can't remember what it was as a kid, but you had to put light under, you put it under light for a while and then it would glow in the dark. I don't remember what that was. Maybe somebody else might remember. Scott, you might remember. But I remember putting under a light, and I just wished I could remember what the toy was or something. Or anyway, it was a glow in the dark something or other. And now you just got those things you can break and shake, and they glow for a while. I like those things. Anyway, Christian, you're not going to get any light shining from your face unless you're spending time in the light. That's just the truth. The moon has no light of itself. That's why the moon is the greatest illustration of a believer in the church. Because the moon shines forth the sun's light. Friend, that's who you and I are. We're a moon. Here he says, so let your lights so shine before men. Come over to Luke chapter 11 with me. Luke chapter 11. And look verse 34 with me. Luke 11:34, the light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. You ever noticed in your house, and I always thought it was interesting in our house, Jamie wanted to put up some lighter curtains and then some heavier curtains together. I'm thinking, well, why is it? And then she said, well, let's let some more light in the house. I don't know about you, but I'd rather have sunlight in the house. Of course, it's a little cheaper. You know, that was the days of incandescent light bulbs, and they used a lot of electricity. Y'all, has anybody in here been told, turn the light out in your room? Anybody ever heard that? Has anybody said that? Yeah. And, of course, the kitty cats get up and turn the lights out. I know it. Your eye, if you're not getting any light, you've got no light on the inside either. Hello? This is one of the reasons why the children of Israel were scared. You start putting some light in, and light gets on the inside, and it starts changing things. Starts changing that old dark heart, those old dark thoughts and decisions making. He says there in verse 35, take heed therefore that the light which is in thee be not darkness. Well, that sounds like an oxymoron. But isn't it the truth? Being dark. Have you ever said, oh, I wish that I just made that... Oh, I did that dumb decision, or I did that again. You ever said that? Yeah. It's not letting light in. Make a difference. If thy whole body therefore be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. How many lumens is a candle? But Scott, how many lumens is a candle? A candle is one lumen. It's that simple. So we see there are flashlights that are 3,000 and 4,000 lumens. This projector is a certain lumen on it, is the amount of light that it produces. These lights here, they produce a certain amount of lumens. With all of them together, we have this certain amount of lumens, L-U-M-E-N-S. Well, what I wonder is, how many lumens do you shine for? How many lumens do I shine forth? Here, just to be one candle is all it is. Do you see that? But we put the pressure on ourselves to be 10 candles. You can't be 10 candles. You can only be one. Let the light so shine before men. Don't hide it. And let the body get some light in it. Don't darken it. When I worked night shift, I put cardboard up in the windows. Duct tape them and everything, Brother Scott. Yep, to darken the room. And then when Jamie and the kids were gone, I'd get the house as cold as I could get it. I sleep great. I want to be able to hang meat. And ask Miss Jamie, because she puts her nightgowns on and got a comforter on and a sheet on. And I'm over there just hanging out because it's too hot. Hey, beloved, does your face shine? One more place, John chapter 1. John chapter 1. It's the light. Shine forth before men. How much light are you shining? When you show up, do people see the light of the Lord on your face? Look at John 1 and verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Do you know how important it is for you to shine forth the light of the Lord Jesus? Yesterday, I was getting ready to walk over, and I was going to get some of the men to come pray over Brother Little and just encourage him. And Bob looked up at me and says, "Hey, let's pray over him." I said, "That's where I'm headed." So not only did I have that idea, but Bob had that idea. And that's a blessing. And God brings other believers that are seeing what you're seeing, and it brings a confirmation of what we ought to be doing. Brother Fields was there. I had Pastor Fields come up. I should have had him pray, and I didn't even think about it. Anyway, point is, it's a blessing when other believers see it. Hey, Pastor, let's pray over him. Amen. Let's pray over him. Yeah. Hey, Pastor, I heard that need of that missionary. When do we have an offering? I said, that's a good idea. I was just sitting here thinking about that myself. Let's do it. I'd rather the Holy Spirit tell you than the Holy Spirit have to tell me. That's how we all work together. That's creativity amongst the believers. Now, I don't think we ought to have creative worship. Now, let's be careful with that one, right? I don't want Brother Ray dancing before the Lord here as Brother David did. That was funny, you got to admit. Look at verse number 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Excuse me, verse 5. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. What a shame. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. There's your job, beloved. Well, what do I do? What do I do? I prayed today. I read the word today. Then just go shine as a light. Pastor, I'm having trouble with this. What do I do? Get in the light. Shine as a light. It's that simple. Stop complicating it. It's not that complicated. Father, thank you for the word, and I pray it's been a help to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.